Welcome to the second episode in our three-part podcast series on the Sunshine Act. In this episode, we will discuss what is considered reportable. I'm Dr. Mark Gilger, Pediatrician-in-Chief of Children's Hospital San Antonio and Professor and Vice Chair of the Department of Pediatrics at Baylor College of Medicine. I'm also Chairman of the Public Affairs and Advocacy Committee for the North American Society for Pediatric Gastroenterology, Hepatology, and Nutrition. With me today is Camille Bonta, Nesbigen's Policy Consultant in Washington, D.C. We're pleased to be a part of this podcast offering to Nesbigen members, which we hope will shed some light on the newly implemented law that requires transparency of relationships between physicians and industry. Camille, can you please explain what is meant by open payments and how does it work?
Sure, Dr. Gilger. The name open payments that CMS has given to the law unfortunately assigns a negative connotation to the types of relationships that will be made available to the public. The implication is a provider community that is wary of any interactions with industry that could be reported. It is important to point out that the law does not prohibit any types of relationships between physicians and industry. Just as there are laws to require transparency of public meetings for public officials, open payments is similarly intended to shine a light on interactions between industry and providers to ensure that these interactions advance the best interests of patients and advance the art and science of medicine. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services at CMS.gov and the American Medical Association have a wealth of information available on their websites about the law and reporting requirements. The types of relationships that industry has with physicians and teaching hospitals that must be reported are laid out in law and regulation. Manufacturers are required to report any payment or transfer of value of $10 or more. Because manufacturers face penalties for failure to report information in timely, accurate, or complete manner, some manufacturers may choose to over-report to protect themselves. There are essentially three categories of relationships: direct, indirect, and ownership. A direct relationship is when a manufacturer provides a payment or transfer of value directly to the physician. An example of a direct relationship would be an industry representative paying for a physician's dinner. An indirect relationship is when a payment or other transfer of value occurs through a third party. For example, a manufacturer provides a payment to an organization and directs that payment be made to a specific physician or a group of physicians. Manufacturers must also report ownership interests held by physicians or members of their families. There are also a number of relationships that do not need to be reported. For example, continuing medical education, patient educational materials or product samples, medical device loans, and product discounts and rebates.
Thanks, Camille. To help people understand what is reportable, let's go over a few scenarios. For example, if employees of a physician's office receive a transfer of value, will that transfer of value need to be reported as a transfer of value to the physician?
Well, let's say a pharmaceutical rep takes an employee of a physician's office out to lunch. That transfer of value is not reportable. However, if the pharmaceutical rep brings lunch to a physician's office for the entire office, including the physicians, then the value of that lunch would need to be divided among all those who partake in the lunch. If the cost per physician is over $10, then the lunch is reportable. Now keep in mind that all indirect transfers are reportable. So if a payment or transfer of value is provided to the employee for that physician in the practice, that is reportable. Now, under a similar scenario, let's say a device representative brings lunch to a physician's office once a month. Each lunch is calculated at $8.50 per physician. Even though the amount is below $10, the aggregate amount over 12 months of lunches is $102 per physician. If the aggregate amount of a payment or transfer of value to a physician exceeds $100 in a year by a single manufacturer, the reporting requirement is triggered.
That's helpful, Camille. It seems that there are many opportunities for interaction between industry and physician at conferences. How do physicians know what is reportable at these conferences?
That's a good question, Dr. Gilger. Let's say a physician goes to a large conference and partakes in a buffet lunch available to all conference attendees, and that lunch is paid by industry. Because it might be difficult for the manufacturer to provide the names of those who are expected to partake in the food, a manufacturer would not be required to report this transfer of value. However, if meals are provided to select individual attendees at a conference where the manufacturer can establish the identity of those attendees, then it is reportable. It is also important to note that even with a large buffet dinner, physicians should be aware that a conference host or planner could decide, at the request of the manufacturer, to provide the names of those who are expected to be in attendance.
Very helpful, Camille. What about continuing medical education courses?
Well, oftentimes, continuing medical education courses are supported by industry. If a physician speaks at a continuing medical education course, any speaker fees, which could include travel, lodging, and food, to that physician would not be reportable, so long as the course is accredited, the speaker is not selected by the manufacturer, and the speaker is not paid directly by the manufacturer. However, travel, lodging, and food paid by industry for other physicians attending a continuing medical education course would be reportable.
Thanks, Camille. How about research grants? Are research grants exempted from reporting?
No, research is an area of reportable relationships. For a payment to fall into a category of research, it only needs to be subject to a written agreement or contract, or a research protocol. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services requires reporting of research payments to primary investigators who meet the definition of physician, even if they do not regularly treat patients.
Now that's helpful. What if a physician only interacts with a manufacturer on a product that does not require a prescription?
That's another excellent question. Physicians oftentimes have relationships with manufacturers of products that do not require a prescription, like an infant formula. Even though a physician's relationship with a manufacturer may center on a non-prescription product, if that manufacturer also has an FDA-approved product that is covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or the Children's Health Insurance Program, then the manufacturer must report any payments or transfer of value with the physician, regardless of what product to which those payments or value of transfers are tied. Now, these are just a few scenarios. On the Open Payments Resource Center on CMS's website, there is a link to frequently asked questions that highlight other scenarios. And if you have a question that has not already been answered, there is a link on that page to submit your question to CMS.
Thanks again, Camille. This concludes part two of this podcast series on the Sunshine Act. Please join us for part three, where the discussion continues. I'm Dr. Mark Gilbert.